Area Voices tells the arts, the culture, and the history stories of northern Minnesota. And if you have driven on Highway 2 between Bemidji and Grand Rapids, you have seen the Big Winnie store. It's hard to miss. It's on the north side of the highway, and it's the red, white, and blue Bavarian-style building. And I'm talking today with, as I said earlier, Arnold J. Dahl Woolley. He's on the line to talk about this national treasure of a landmark. And Arnold, it's a family treasure of yours, if I understand correctly. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. Good morning.
So it's my understanding that you actually took over running the store in about 2004.
Yeah, I'm actually the fifth generation of my family to be an owner and operator of it. So there's a lot of history there, and there's a lot of family history there.
No kidding. And you had been living on the over in the western United States at the time. Why was it important for you to come on back and keep it going?
Well, actually, I came back years before, and then I looked at it. It was a little disarray and a little run down looking. And my father was the owner at that time because it was passed to him in a will. And so I told my dad, I said, "Dad, it looks kind of rough." He goes, "Well, I'm getting old, you know." So and I started discussing it when I was living in Oregon, and so we made the trek back and took over from my father and started the restoration process.
Oh man, so we'll start talking. I'll go there now. What was that process like restoring it? It's so vibrant and it's so full of life now. I can't imagine it looking dilapidated at all. You've worked so hard to get it going. What was it like restoring it?
Literally, my blood, sweat, and tears are in that place. It was a huge undertaking. And so it's like, okay, well, I did incorporate my father as well. And he's very, very pleased with the results because it was, we need to make sure that everything stays historical because it is a nationally recognized historical landmark since 1981. And so we need to make sure if anything's wrong on the outside of the building or if it becomes, because it's made out of wood, if it starts to become dilapidated looking, this piece, we'll take that off and we have to replace it with an identical piece of wood. And then we have to paint it accordingly and we have to make sure it's red, white, and blue.
Oh, so because it's an historic landmark, so the red, white, and blue was the original coloring of the building?
Actually, the original coloring, most people do not know, but the original coloring was green and red. And it became a historical landmark when it was red, white, and blue because the standard station was coming through and their colors were red, white, and blue. And so they wanted to make sure that the store spoke for them as well. So they supplied all these different types of paint of red, white, and blue, and the store was painted. And during that time is when it became a historical landmark.
Who built it?
Well, that's the wonderful question. It's because the architect is supposed to be Frank Lloyd Wright. And why do I know this? Because I'm the fifth generation.
Right. Well, that's what I had heard on my bathroom stop. I talked to whoever was behind the counter, and that person had indicated that it was a Frank Lloyd Wright building. So I was fascinated by it.
Yeah, and it's a Frank Lloyd Wright building, and I know this because I'm a descendant. And my great-great-grandfather, Ernest Fleming, when he had it built, he was very affluent back then, and he owned everything, and he had some persons that were very affluent as well, but he also worked with all different communities, Native community, white community, and he was there to help everyone. Well, he had this place built, and it was designed, and here it is. And there was actually an interview years ago at the ending of Ernest Fleming's life, and they were coming to that point of topic, and he just talks about the history of Bina and the history of the family and the building and so forth. And so it was a two-part interview. They finished that part. It was on recording. And the next day they're supposed to finish the interview and discuss this topic, and he died. And so he never finished the interview.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm. And so it was, it's like, oh, could I just hold on for one more day, great-great-grandpa?
Oh, my gosh. Well, it certainly adds to the mystery of it all, doesn't it?
It does add to the mystery. I mean, as a family, you know, I know what it is. And, you know, we do have people coming out here once in a while, or architecture persons, people interested in architecture. And we've also had colleges come out here, and they look at it. realizing the fact of what it used to be in 1932, because there's some more ornate pieces that need to go on there. So they look at the original pictures. And when you see the original pictures of the place, you're like, wow. I mean, it's gorgeous now, but back in 1932 with these ornate pieces, you're like, wow, I can't believe this was designed in 1932. It's gorgeous. And so these architecture persons and colleges have been out here and they've seen this and they look at the building and they go, oh my gosh, this is a Frank Lloyd Wright. I can tell by the look. I can tell by the structure. I can tell by everything. And so...
Oh, so they know.
They know. Yeah, they know more so than I do. I mean, I'm the son of a contractor and so forth and so on. But I don't know.
But you know what goes into building a building because you're...
Oh, absolutely.
You know,
I've been on construction sites since I was a child. That's why it was a very big blessing for me to have... You know, when you're a child and your father says, you're going to help out at the job site, and you're like, I'm never going to use this in my life. And you're just a resentful teenager and so forth. And I thought, I'm never going to be utilizing construction in my life at all because I was going towards a different field. And I'm so thankful for my father today of showing me how to do this. And I have thanked him for it today. But thank you for showing me how to build and thank you for forcing me to build.
Oh yeah, those are skills that we need. We all use. This has been in your family your entire life, your dad's entire life. What are some of your great memories of patting around the Big Winnie store and RV park?
It sounds very minute, but for me as a child, one of the most exciting things for me was when I'd be visiting my grandparents and I'd hear the train go by. And so my grandmother would give us an ice cream cup from up at the front part of the store. There was a little freezer. And so we'd get an ice cream cup, and I'd run over to the window, and I'd see all the blinking lights, and then I'd watch the train go by, and I'd count the cars. So that was one of my great childhood memories because my family was there, my grandparents were there, and I had my ice cream cup, and I'm counting cars with my brother, you know. So that was an exciting time for me as a child. I really enjoyed those moments.
Oh my gosh. Well, those are good memories. And I was doing a little bit of research, you know, prepping for this interview, and it was my understanding that at the time when it was built, it was more important to be close to the railroad.
You have done your research.
As opposed to close to the lake, whereas nowadays it would seem like an RV park, people would want it to be right next to the lake as opposed to the railroad.
Oh, absolutely, because Vienna used to be quite large once upon a time. And some of the pictures that are inside of our store reflect that. It shows that there used to be a train station right across the highway from us and right next to the railroad tracks. And back in the day, Lakeshore was the crap property. You didn't want Lakeshore. You wanted to be by the railroad. So my great-great-grandfather sold that land years ago, so I could see in the abstract, you know, when this was done. And so today I'm thinking, oh, my goodness, you know, if we could have had all that Lakeshore property today, you know, but it is what it is, and it's okay. You know, the store has been thriving all these years, and it's become this little icon in its area. And when the train goes by, it's kind of, I don't know, you hear the horn blast. And it's, I don't know, for me, it's history going through.
Yeah.
I like it.
Absolutely. Well, it's a fascinating structure, and it's part of it to me is so fascinating because it's kind of out there on its own. I mean,
you can't help but notice it, seriously, because, you know, people will be driving for a long time and all of a sudden you come up in this clearing and then there's this huge red, white, and blue building with all this architecture on there. You're like, why is this here? And then you pull in, you know, and I'm very pleased with our grounds today because it took a lot to get our grounds, you know, everything's landscaped and everything's, you know, mowed and trimmed. And some of the bushes that are back there too were the bushes that my grandparents and great grandparents planted. And so I'm trimming those today, you know, for as the landscaping. And so when you do drive through, it's not just the building. You see this building and there's a lot of history in there. There's a lot of good memories and there's a lot of family involved. And not just the building, but also the grounds, the shrubbery, the trees that were planted by my father as a child. Those are there as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we're glad you're back maintaining the store and keeping it up to date. It looks beautiful. What have you had any unique people visiting because it is on the National Registry, or can you share any stories about that?
I can share many, many, many stories. Vienna used to be quite large, and so, you know, I'll touch base on just a few interesting things, you know, because there used to be the German CCC camp right back behind the store, and the foundations are still there. And that's where my grandfather worked, and that's how I met my grandmother, you know, so because she was right there. And we'd had German prisoners come back and visit our facility years ago. And they said, I was a prisoner here, and I remember coming over here, and it was right back behind here, and they'd ask if they can go back there. And they had wonderful stories because the German prisoners here were treated very well. They were treated very well, and some of them didn't leave. And so we've had several visitors come back and visit the area. And also we've had from, like, ghost hunters to coin collectors. They've been here as well. The ghost hunters, they were really a lot of fun. Because they had all their light equipment and so forth. Since we are a historical landmark, that was one of the places of choice. This was this red, white, and blue building that was in a very rural area. And so they had their equipment out and discovered that we are officially a haunted establishment.
I was going to say, did they find anything?
They did. They found my grandmother. It was great.
She's our watching family, you, Arnold.
She's watching, and that's okay. She can watch. And we've met coin collectors, too, because they know that this place has been here for a long time. And so everywhere you go, there's history. And so they'd ask, can we please, you know, dig up a little bit? We'll put the grass back exactly the way it was. You'll never know we were there. I'm like, absolutely, because I'm not going to go out there with the coin collector items and those little BB things. I'm not going to do that. And so we've had several people go out there, but what I really appreciated one time is they came back and they had a little framed coin collection that they gave to me, and some of them were for the 1800s. And I was like, oh, they didn't need to do that. I thought that was very nice because, you know, I said, yeah, just go ahead because I'm not going to do it. They said, well, here, as a thank you, we frame these coins for you. And so I have them hanging in the store as well. And most of our customers, actually, they're here for the rural camping experience and also the hunting and fishing. And the history is just a bonus. It seriously is. There's a lot of history here.
Wow, and it sounds like you just keep learning more and more as the years go by that you're spending out there.
Oh, yeah. When I was a child, I didn't pay too much attention because I was thinking, I'm never going to do this. You know, I'm just going to run around and play with, you know, grandparents and cousins. And I remember being on this ground since a child everywhere and then hearing the stories about my father as a child and then my great-grandmother as well, because I live in my great-grandmother's house on the grounds, and that this house was built for her, and so it was kind of coming to, like, full circles when I was like, oh, my gosh, I own great-grandma's house. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, it's kind of a very unique experience where all the history is, like, coming full circle, and I very much appreciate it. And then my father's here, and there's all these different memories, a lot of good memories everywhere I go on the grounds. Yeah. It's always home. No matter where I go on the grounds, I'm always home. And also our customers, they always feel home, too, because we want to make sure they feel welcome. They know the history. They know the area now. And we all have a really good time. It's like this little community right here inside of our other small community.
Oh, it's just fantastic. Well, that is Arnold J. Dahl Woolley. He owns the historic Big Winnie store and RV park on Highway 2 at Bena. Next time you're driving by, Stop
on in.
And
don't
check
be
it
shy.
Out.
Stop on in.
That's right. Thank you so much, Arnold.
Thank you.
Area Voices is made possible by the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and by the people of Minnesota.